Chad.
Wow, that one's going to be hard to follow. As you can see, our staff that work on databases and our GIS are top notch. We got a good group of people there. So, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator for the department. If you remember last month in Spearfish when we were talking about the chronic wasting disease proposal that you were working on at that time, there were some questions and dialogue regarding wildlife feeding or the feeding and baiting related to wildlife surrounding the discussion around chronic wasting disease and things we can do to try to manage and reduce the spread of that disease in the state. So it was asked at that time at this meeting to come forward and have that discussion. On page 27 within your commission booklet, essentially is a short white paper, I guess you could call it, on information related to feeding and baiting in South Dakota. And I'll go through this a little bit. Some of this I know you have in front of you, but some of this I want to reiterate for those here in the audience or listening to us here online. But so there's two words that are commonly used together related to this topic, and that's feeding and baiting. And I provided some definitions for you. One is from a paper that was published by the Wildlife Society, and they define feeding as the act of intentionally placing any food for use by wildlife on an annual, seasonal, or emergency basis, and baiting as the act of intentionally placing food attractants to manipulate the behavior of wild animals. If you go down below there, South Dakota Administrative Rule in Game, Fish, and Parks chapters, we define baiting as a location where grains, fruits, vegetables, you can see some other things listed there, including commercial products containing natural food materials or other byproducts, are placed or maintained as an attractant to big game animals for the purpose of hunting. So both baiting and feeding, I guess, are kind of the same thing. It's just what your intention or your use of that practice is. So baiting, we look at it as pertaining to the use for hunting purposes, okay? If you go down below there, I listed some codified laws and state statute. One is what state statute grants the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission the authority for adopting rules to implement game, fish, and conservation laws. And I'll read that one. It states the conservation, protection, importation, and propagation of wild animals and fish, except for any non-domestic animal, which is regulated pursuant, it's referencing to another state statute. So state statute pretty much grants a pretty wide authority to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission in regards to what they just defined there in that particular state statute. Another state statute revolving around the feeding and baiting would be there's a statute regarding the use of salt to attract big game, which is prohibited. Okay, so we know lots of landowners utilize salt blocks and whatnot. That's for a different purpose. That's for maintaining the health and whatnot of their livestock herds. But for someone to intentionally place salt or a salt block to attract, even just to view wildlife, is prohibited by state law. Okay. Some administrative rules pertaining to this discussion would be bait stations in rule are prohibited on any department-owned or managed lands. If you remember last month, you finalized a rule regarding the feeding, which is associated with baiting pertaining to the rule, where we made an adjustment to the time period for baiting due to the movement of the archery season up 1 month. So I guess in a nutshell, those would be the state statutes and administrative rules pertaining towards baiting. On the third page there, provided a summary. It's a review of regulations for adjacent states. So this information was compiled by the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. They do this on kind of a twice a year basis to try to track how states are what regulations they may have in regards towards chronic wasting disease, whether it be transportation, disposal, whether or not they allow feeding or baiting or things like that. So I put together this table from the information that they provide, which was updated in April of 2019. You can see, looking at the adjacent states around us, baiting for the use, feeding and using that as a bait practice for the use of hunting is prohibited in pretty much all of our surrounding states, except for North Dakota. You can see it's allowed except for their deer units where they have confirmed chronic wasting disease. Okay, feeding of wildlife is pretty much allowed in most of the states. It is prohibited, like it is in South Dakota, on state-owned lands or department-managed lands. Minnesota has imposed a feeding ban within their counties or hunting units where chronic wasting disease has been confirmed by the state. And Montana was pretty aggressive back in the early 2000s, where I believe they have legislation, state statute, that prohibits the feeding of wildlife. So, and you'll note on that last, actually I didn't include that, but they still, I was on their website, and they still do pretty good education and information on their public on their website, where if you feed wildlife, there are some substantial fines associated with that. So it kind of varies by state. So in regards to the discussion surrounding chronic wasting disease, it can get a little complex. As we know, the use of bait stations is prohibited for big game hunting in South Dakota. The dates are simply in there to protect wildlife from hunting practices. So you must stop doing that within a certain time period, as we have within administrative rule. We know in South Dakota, last year was a great example. We had a really bad winter here in the Northern Great Plains, and for our resident wildlife, those winters can be brutal. They can be tough. We anticipate varying levels of mortality from overwinter loss, from whether it's deer or pheasants or whatever resident wildlife might have to try to survive through some of those, and that can be a challenge. I mean, we received some pretty pointed emails and phone calls to staff last year. Why are you guys not out there feeding these deer that are starving? And that's a tough one to answer. I mean, nobody likes to see an animal suffer. Obviously, we just do not have the financial resources or the staff, nor do we maybe think it's appropriate to try to do that at a statewide, yet even a local level. And we do everything we can to try to work with landowners that want to enhance wildlife habitat. We know that providing winter cover, thermal cover, is a critical habitat component for resident wildlife. If you look at pheasants and deer in particular, and we can do the best we can, and we can even have a winter like we experienced last year, that providing that cover at the best level we can sometimes is just unfortunately simply not enough for adequate survival. Game, fish, and parks, from a, we don't practice the feeding of wildlife. However, we do utilize what we call short-stop feeding in certain and rare instances when it comes to trying to work with landowners on wildlife depredation spots where we might have deer or other big game animals that come in and are attracted to stored hay or other feed sources on private land. If we exhaust all of our other tools, that is a tool that we'll utilize to try to provide some other type of food source to try to keep those animals from coming in and causing financial harm to that particular producer. But it does occur on a rare basis and is not practiced regularly across the state. Repeated use of feeding areas, if people are feeding wildlife, we obviously know anytime we artificially concentrate, whether it's animals or even humans, in a smaller area, we know there's a higher likelihood of disease transmission, and I think that's why that topic was being discussed around chronic wasting disease. In allowing the feeding of wildlife in our known endemic areas, one could argue that may have a higher likelihood of transmitting and increasing the prevalence rate of CWD within those deer and elk. And one could argue it should we be doing that across the state where we don't have CWD? There's various opinions around that. We do know that feeding wildlife can change their movement patterns, can change their home range, some migration things associated with that, and they obviously concentrate animals. Feeding can alter normal avoidance in their avoidance behavior towards maybe vehicles or humans. We know that can cause issues as well. Anytime you artificially concentrate animals, you could increase their chance of predation, whether it be by mammalian or avian predators. If you look at pheasants, whenever you have a higher concentration of animals, it just makes it that much more efficient, possibly for predators to take that prey. It can contribute to overpopulation in certain areas. Some people might want to attract deer to their backyard or other animals where the other person has a very strong interest in their shrubbery or flowers and deer-like succulent plants, and we deal with that on a regular basis. Our staff do when it comes to depredation on some of that, those types of private property. Some of you are livestock owners and manage livestock, and you know anytime you significantly change the diet or provide a new food source for your livestock, there can be issues associated with that, whether it's acidosis, you know, a grain overload, or just other things associated with overeating. Deer kind of have a little different digestive process than some other animals, and sometimes it takes them quite a while to adjust to new food sources. There's some members of the public, when you talk about should we be imposing regulations on feeding, there's some that argue, well, deer and other animals naturally herd up and concentrate together normally during the winter, and we see those activities occur, and we see those animals attracted to hay yards and other things. So, you know, there's that argument on that side of things. There's a lot of attractants, minerals, food plot seed, and other food sources that are commercially available. You walk down some of the aisles in Scheels or Cabela's or your local running store. There's a whole smorgasbord of items you can purchase to feed deer and other things. So there's the commercial retail side of things in that aspect. You know, we've talked about internally if there was such a ban or regulation imposed on feeding of wildlife, what kind of position that might put our law enforcement staff in. There was a restriction on the feeding of wildlife and we experienced a winter like we did last year, and we noticed a guy out dumping alfalfa or prairie hay to a herd of deer that are herded up, and probably might put that conservation officer in a tough spot to go out there and have a conversation with that landowner and producer in his loader tractor with 2 foot of snow and the wind blowing and whatnot. I mean, we all want to do what we think are the right things. At times we do know feeding can have a downside to wildlife, and from a chronic wasting disease standpoint, we're gonna do our best to educate and inform our public to the downsides of that from a disease perspective, and some of the other potential downsides that were addressed or included in that paper we presented to you. But I guess in a nutshell, that's about all I had to present here, but I would sure answer any questions or join a dialogue here. So,
thank you, Chad. Questions or comments? Seeing none, thank you.
Okay,
good report. So we're to 28 license sale update.